This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In May 2015, Ireland became the first nation in the world that legalized gay marriage all at once through a nationwide ballot measure. The historic vote in a majority Catholic country stunned the world and offered hope to LGBT rights activists everywhere. Now, one of Ireland's most distinguished journalists has written a book filled with the stories of ordinary people whose lives were impacted by the vote. Charlie Bird is one of Ireland's most well-known journalists with a long and distinguished career in Irish public service broadcasting. In April 2015, he chaired the launch of the Yes Equality Marriage Referendum campaign. He now joins me to discuss his new book, A Day in May, Real Lives, True Stories. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first explain your involvement exactly in this campaign. You're a journalist, but obviously you're someone who's an activist as well. You chaired the launch of this campaign. How exactly were you involved?
Well, when you say I was an activist, for 38 years, I worked in Irish public service broadcasting, where I kept my political opinions to myself. But a few years ago, I retired from that position. So I was free when I was invited last year to chair the launch of the Yes Equality campaign. As you said in your introduction, it was the campaign in Ireland to introduce marriage equality across the country. And when I got involved in the campaign, on the day in where we had, where the great and the good of Irish politics came together to launch the campaign, there was a man in the audience, and his name was Enda Morgan, and he told the story about his daughter, Rachel. And what he said on that day really impacted upon me enormously. Basically, here was a father telling a story about his 25-year-old daughter. She phoned home on one occasion. She was driving back from the west of Ireland, and she basically had a meltdown on the road, and she rang her mother to say that she was dying. She was dying, she said. And eventually what happened was the doctors told her that she was having a massive panic attack. And the reason she was having the panic attack was that for years she'd been covering up the idea, the notion that she was gay or that she was lesbian. When she got home, she told her parents that she'd been covering this up for years, that she'd been lying to her friends, that she'd been lying to her mother and father. And so that is the way, in a sense, that she came out. And Enda Morgan's story on that day was so powerful, was so impactful. And that's what the whole campaign in Ireland last year was about. Ordinary people, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, young LGBT people telling their stories. In Catholic Ireland, it was all about just a narrative, telling a simple story. And that's, in a way, what won the referendum last year.
And so I'm wondering if you can sort of put the issue of marriage into a broader context. I mean, was this just about marriage, or was it also, more broadly speaking, about equality? The image on the cover of your book shows, at least the US version, shows people holding up signs that simply say equal. This notion that if you can get married, you simply are the same as everybody else.
Yes, the cover of the American version has got a whole lot of people holding up signs saying equal. It was, of course, about marriage last year, but it was also, in a way, it was a civil right. It was a human right. Some people who campaigned for a no vote said, no, it wasn't a human rights issue. It wasn't a civil rights issue. But to me, that's what it was. Because if you want to give your neighbor, if you want to give your friend or whoever it is, or a brother or a sister, the same rights as you have yourself. I'm a heterosexual person, but I wanted my gay and LGBT friends also to have the same rights as I have. I got married recently. So why shouldn't my LGBT friends also have that same right? And that's what happened last year. People extended the same rights that they had themselves to their friends, to people that they knew. And that's what was so important about what happened in Ireland last year.
And so, Charlie, was there a trajectory where, you know, polls showed that maybe initially there wasn't that much support because people just weren't aware of how this impacted people's lives, and through a process of public education, you changed minds? Or was it just that the time was ripe, that Ireland was already ready?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both, Sonali. I think it was probably a combination of both. But what was really crucial was the way the campaign was brought about. People didn't want to go out fighting with everybody. This was trying to convince people by just dint of an argument, by dint of verbal discussion, not shouting and roaring at somebody, if you like. It was taking what I call a very holistic approach, saying, this is what we want to do for our LGBT neighbours, for our LGBT friends. And there's 1.2 million people voted yes, 700,000 people voted no, but there's not 1.2 million LGBT people in Ireland. And that's what I mean. It was the extended families. It was old and young came together. In fact, we had this amazing campaign. People came from all parts of the world. They came home from Australia. They came home from every country in the world to vote yes last year. That was what was so remarkable about it. It tapped into the young people. They used social media, like in a way that Obama used in 2008. In Ireland in 2015, a lot of social media was used to attract, to get people to vote, to register people to vote, because they felt it was important. And in a way, we were making a bit of history in this country. Ireland got its independence just over 100 years ago, and almost to the year, to the century, we did this remarkable thing which most people didn't believe that Ireland was going to do, and that was to vote yes.
So let's talk about some of the people that you profile in your book, A Day in May, Real Lives, True Stories. You mentioned Enda, and you mentioned his daughter, Rachel. Who are some of the other people? Clearly, these aren't just people directly impacted who are LGBT themselves, but people directly impacted because somebody they know or love is a gay and lesbian person, or simply somebody who has this sense of solidarity.
Yes, it was both LGBT people and also the sense of solidarity, family and friends. For the book, I interviewed over 80 people from right across Ireland, from right across the four corners of Ireland. I went out and I interviewed people. And in the book, there are 52 stories. And in those stories, if I can tell you a little bit about, I went and met these people. I was a stranger to them, a total stranger to them. They knew I'd been on radio and television, so they at least could identify in some way with me. But I sat in a room and we spoke for almost an hour. Each interview lasted for almost an hour. And each one of these people poured out in a way their innermost secrets, their innermost thoughts to what I said was a stranger. In many instances, we laughed. In some instances, we cried. Now, one of the examples was a man called Stephen Sharp. He was a young man from the Midlands in Ireland, from rural Ireland. And Stephen described to me growing up in rural Ireland at around the age of 14 or 15. And he said to me, I knew I was different, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And he said, I didn't even know how to use the word gay. It was difficult for me to use. And at one point he described sitting on his bedroom, on the ledge of his bedroom, sitting on it, contemplating jumping and taking his own life. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he got back, he describes getting back into his bed and curling up and crying. Now, if you meet Stephen Sharp today, he's the most outwardly confident young man. Absolutely brilliant, a fantastic musician. But here was this person who was totally conflicted because he was gay and he didn't know how to tell his family. He didn't know how to tell his mother. He didn't know how to tell his father. And he describes in the book that when he eventually told his father that he was gay, he said, I have something to tell you, Dad. And his father said, "What are you going to tell me?" And he said, "Well, I'm gay." He said, "Oh my God, I thought you were going to tell me it was something else." He said, "Stephen, you're my son. You are my son. I love you. That's what's important." And in a way, all of the 52 stories, nearly every single one of them, have some sort of connection like that. There's a young man called Ben Slim. He lives in a place called Tralee and down south in Ireland. He's a young student. He's now, by the way, on his way to Washington to work with one of the political parties in Washington. But when Ben was growing up, he, again, like Stephen, he said he realized that he was different and that on at least three or four occasions, he was beaten up because he was gay. And he was hospitalized because he was gay. And he considered, again, taking his own life. Just imagine that. Just think about it for a moment. How conflicted Ben, how conflicted Stephen was, the two of them. And throughout the book, there are different stories. There's a story of a young lady in the book called Anne-Marie Lillis. Anne-Marie describes, she's a school teacher. Anne-Marie describes going on what they call the J-1 visa to America. She was going off with her friends to work for a year for the summer in New York. And she wanted to tell her best friend that she was lesbian. And she did not know how to do that. And she decides one night, sitting in the little apartment in New York 10 or 11 years ago, "I'm going to tell my friend that I'm lesbian." And she said, all I could do to utter the words, I told her that I liked yogurt. She said, "I like raspberry yogurt, I like strawberry yogurt, and I like hazelnut yogurt." And after about 2 or 3 minutes, her friend said to her, "Anne-Marie, what are you talking about? What are you going on about?" Just imagine it. This young girl could not utter the words to her best friend that she was lesbian. She just found it so difficult to utter those words. And in a way, what's happened now is that, you know, all of these people are free. But the reality, Sonali, is that there are people in Ireland today, there are people in America, and there are people all over the world, who are still going through the same, as it were, confliction, the same difficulties, the same mental anguish that Stephen, that Anne-Marie Lillis and Ben and all the others in the book went through. They are still going through that today.
So, Charlie, it's only been a year. How has the yes vote winning in Ireland made life more, let's say, accepting and society more accepting of the LGBT community in Ireland? I mean, even if folks now have the right to marry, does that necessarily mean that they're fully accepted? Is there been a palpable change that you've noticed?
Yes, there has been a palpable change. And when I talk to some of my LGBT friends, they say now, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, if they were walking down the streets, they might feel uncomfortable holding hands. But now they feel less uncomfortable doing that. And there has been certainly a lot of marriages, same-sex marriages over the last few years. But I think where you notice the real change is as a nation, as a country, as a whole coming together as a nation, where people have the images which were transmitted all over the world last year of Dublin Castle in the sunshine and people celebrating. You know, it is remarkable that Ireland has become the first country in the world. We will always have that one moment of history. Ireland was the first country in the world to vote by popular mandate. People went to the ballot box, they queued up. I can remember, by the way, I covered the Obama election in 2008. And I can remember in Chicago early in the morning, people queuing up, black people queuing up to vote for a black man for president. In a way, the same thing, if I can, this is probably not quite the same analogy, but in some senses, the moment of history was the same, that people last year queued up to do something that most people in Ireland felt they would never, ever do, that it might happen in some other country in the world. The fact that Ireland introduced same-sex marriage through the ballot box is something remarkable. And I think we still have that aura today. And there is no doubt that homophobia is still an issue in this country.
And
there is
how
absolutely
do
no doubt it's still an issue in this country, but overall there is definitely a sea change.
people reconcile the Catholic influence in Irish society with this acceptance of gay marriage being legal?
Well, the Catholic Church opposed it, as was their right to do that. They opposed it. But in a way, I think it was because so many things have happened in this country over the last number of years. And like in America, with the whole issue about, you know, abuse of young kids, in a way, the Catholic Church had lost a certain amount of its influence in this country. And I think what was important about last year, as I repeat myself, the fact that the people who went to the ballot box were many, many of them, tens if not hundreds of thousands of them, were Catholics. The bishops told them that they believed it was wrong, but they still went and they did it. And I'll give you one example. There was a young man called Mark Govern came home from Australia to vote. When he told his mother he was coming home from Australia to vote yes, his mother said, you know, when you come home, Mark, because you're coming from Australia, you're making such a big deal over it, you're going to be in the media. And what transpired was her local priest contacted her when she heard that her son was coming home. And he said, I'm going to pray for your son. Now, she turned out to be, she was actually a no voter. She was a no voter. But the one thing that she did when her son came home to vote, yes, he was gay, she did not vote no. She spoiled her vote. In other words, there was a mother. She was conflicted by what the church was telling her and the love for her son. And in the end, she went in and she just spoiled her vote. So in a way, it's a sort of a colourful story. And 4 weeks ago, when the Irish Prime Minister launched the book A Day in May, she turned up to collect his book, which I had signed for Mark. So her mother was proud to come and to, as it were, represent her son. And in a way, that's a microcosm of what happened in Ireland. Mothers and fathers, young and old, grandparents came out and they voted yes.
Well, finally, Charlie, can you put into a broader global context what Ireland's vote means? Do you feel that the vote that took place in May 2015 can have repercussions around the country, not just in places like the US where we're now making some progress, but in other parts of the world where there might be regression or where you know people can be jailed for simply being gay, forget about even legally marrying somebody? I mean, do you feel like this can have some good positive impact?
Well, I would hope so, but I think there is still a struggle, and I think that it is up to every country in the world, it is up to everybody in these countries to fight for the right for marriage equality. It will not be easy. As you say, in some countries you can be jailed, and indeed in some countries you could be put to death for same-sex marriage. The battle is not over. But if you, in a sense, the fact that Ireland, the image of Ireland passing the referendum last year, I think has had a global effect. And I know talking to my LGBT friends in Ireland, there are people coming from all over the world now to find out how Ireland did they pass the marriage equality referendum. So I think Ireland is now a beacon. It is a symbol for marriage equality. And while it's not going to be easy, and I have to tell you this, Sonali, that there was a recent survey in Ireland about the mental health of young LGBT people in Ireland. And unfortunately, some of the figures, some of the statistics from that survey did not make very nice reading. They were fairly grim, some of the figures. So this issue is not over. It's not over in Ireland, and it's not over in many countries in the world. But we have made an enormous amount of progress. And in a way, if I can put it in simple terms, the genie in Ireland is now well out of the bottle. And I think it will be out of the bottle in many other countries in the years to come.
Charlie Bird, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Charlie Bird is one of Ireland's most well-known journalists with a long and distinguished career in Irish public service broadcasting. In April 2015, he chaired the launch of the Yes Equality Marriage Referendum campaign in Ireland. And we've been discussing his new book, A Day in May, Real Lives, True Stories. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.